This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about Medicare, and who better to do that with than David Santana. He's with the Office of External Affairs for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob, and good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Co-host Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, CovExec columnist, and fellow seminar presenter. And she actually has an article in NARF this month.
I do.
What is it?
Choosing the best day to retire.
Which is
the only thing I'm known for.
Well, I think you're known for a lot of things. That one in particular, though.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here today because I always like when David comes on because he's very understandable and very knowledgeable, and we can get our questions answered about Medicare and its relationship with FEHB and its relationship with Obamacare. So I'm looking forward to today.
I'm sure Tammy and I both appreciate somebody that really knows a difficult subject and can put it into understandable responses. So let's have at it. Mm-hmm. Should we do the alphabet soup first?
Yeah, alphabet soup or open season, take your pick.
Let's do open season because it comes on the heel of the first open season show last week. So
we're already in the midst of one open season that David's familiar with, so he can explain the difference between the Medicare open season, the federal health benefit open season, and the general enrollment for Medicare. What is that all about?
Right, so let's talk about the Medicare open enrollment period. It's not called open season in terms of Medicare, but it's an open enrollment period. And this is for one of the options that people have in Medicare is to choose to have their Medicare benefits carried by a private health insurance plans, very similar to the FEHB plan. So they have HMOs, PPOs, and all these options that we have in the FEHB. Individuals with Medicare have the option to have their health insurance through a private plan. Every year, they have the open enrollment period, which is October 15 through December 7. This is the opportunity that individuals have to come and compare those plans that they had in the past year with plans, how the plans are changing for next year. Go to the website, medicare.gov, and compare what they have with what is coming up for next year and make the best decision there based on the information that we gave them in terms of prices and benefits. Also in Medicare, we have what we call a general enrollment period. This is for individuals who missed their initial enrollment period when they were around 65 years of age and over and did not enroll in Medicare at that time. They have from January 1st through March 31st to go and enroll in Medicare. If they do it during that time, their effective date will be July 1st of the following year.
Good.
If somebody enrolls at 65, why would they or why wouldn't they? Boy, that's a whole show probably with that one. But when somebody makes a decision, why wouldn't they?
Well, a couple of reasons why. Number one is they might still be working and they have health insurance through their employer, so they wouldn't necessarily need to be enrolled in Medicare along with it, especially when it comes to federal employees because they're not required to enroll in Medicare. And then I guess the other reason is that under the federal health benefit program, you can have FEHB even when you're retired, and you can choose not to enroll in Medicare. So sometimes people decide after the fact, after they've retired, after they've turned 65, that maybe at 70 they want to enroll in Medicare, and that's when they would use the general enrollment period to sign up for Part B and or Part A. Is that correct?
That is correct, Tommy. Many individuals, when they turn 65 and they're actively working, as you call it in the beginning, the alphabet soup, we do have the Medicare Part A, which is the part that pay for hospital. This is the part that that we paid taxes to get Medicare Part A. So therefore, is offered premium free. And this is the part that covered you when you go into the hospital and become an inpatient. So this is the what we call the hospital insurance. So it's free for most people. So we advise individuals, whether you're working or retired, when you turn 65, you should get Medicare Part A. It's just that, you know, if you're actively working, of course, your FEHB will be primary during that time. But if there is something left over, if you happen to be in a hospital, that claim could be sent to Medicare Part A, and they could help you with some of the cost left over.
I always call Part A no-brainer.
No-brainer, exactly, exactly. So, so you'll get it whether you're working or you're retired. So really the part in question is Medicare Part B. This is the part that you don't pay anything to earn it, so everybody have to pay a premium. And, of course, while you're working, you or your spouse, and if you're covered under your spouse, whomever is actively working and carrying the policy, usually you wouldn't get Medicare Part B while you're working because your FEHB remained primary health insurance. So you would get very little out of paying that Medicare Part B premium. So if you went on without that Medicare Part B and you retired, and you did not enroll when you retired as well, then this is the open enrollment period that we're talking about, mainly for Medicare Part B, for enrolling in Part B.
Right. And the other thing, too, with employees who are still working, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to just get a job at Walmart and I'll still be working. But it's working and covered by your employer's health plan is when Medicare is secondary to your federal health insurance.
Correct.
And then the other thing is when you do retire, if you work past age 65 and you still have FEHB coverage, there's a special enrollment period, isn't there, that you can enroll in Part B as soon as you retire, and you'll have a period of how long is that?
Exactly, exactly. So where you're actively working, you're over 65, you went on to enroll in Medicare Part A, did not enroll in Part B, you and your spouse. You can enroll in Medicare Part B at any point while you're working. Mm-hmm. So you have that ongoing special enrollment period that you can pick that up at any time while you're working. Now, once you retired and that employer health insurance plan through current employment ends, we give you 8 months to think about whether Medicare Part B is a good option for you. So we give you 8 months to think about it. If you go on without enrolling in Medicare Part B beyond that 8 month, then that's when
the general enrollment
period kicks in. So one important thing to mention here is that the time frame that you have health insurance through your employer will not count against you. And that is leading me to talk about a little penalty or a big penalty.
It could be a big penalty.
That we have under Medicare Part B. So the penalty is 10% for each 12 months that went by, and you could have had Medicare Part B, but you decide not to enroll in that part. So the penalty could grow over the years.
So if you wait 10 years, that's 100%. That's double what everybody else is
paying. That's 100% penalty. So if the premium this year is $100, you would be paying $200.
And that's not just 1 year. That's permanent penalty.
That is forever, and you pay that on a monthly basis. So.
But just think of all the money you save for the 10 years you didn't enroll. So I guess you have to weigh that out to see.
Exactly.
And unless you know the end date, which is the date of your death, you don't know if that was a good choice or not. So you're taking a gamble either way.
Exactly, exactly. I think that, as you mentioned, Tommy, you know, as we age, we need more medical care. And usually people at the age of 65, they feel pretty healthy. They say, I don't need to enroll into health insurance. I do have the FEHB. But then as we age and start using the system more, there is more and more out-of-pocket expenses. And then it gets to the point that it makes more sense to have Medicare Part B and the FEHB so that you have that comprehensive package of benefits that you really don't pay anything out-of-pocket other than the Medicare Part B premium.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about what Part B of Medicare actually covers. What are some of the services and things that you can get from Medicare Part B?
Pretty much everything that you get outside of the hospital. So when we talk about Medicare Part B, we talk about your doctor's visits. You talk about your lab test. you talk about dual medical equipment that you get,
walkers,
scooters, all of those equipments that individuals need to help them remain functional. That comes under Medicare Part B. There's some prescription drug benefits that comes under Medicare Part B. Just to mention a few.
What about ambulance? Do they cover ambulance?
Ambulance transportation is covered under Medicare if other transportation means will endanger your life. So it's not a routine care. So you do have to, it has to be justifiable to call an ambulance to transport you. You have to have a heart attack. You can't be sitting around the house and waiting for an ambulance.
You need to ride to the hospital.
Exactly. So it has been a lot of abuse with ambulance transportation. So it led us to have more.
And what I hear a lot of federal employees say to me is that, you know, I already have Blue Cross or I have this other health plan through the FEHB plan that already covers lab work and physical therapy and durable medical equipment. So why would I need to have Medicare along with that federal health plan? What's the benefit of having two sets of health insurance that sound like they cover the same thing?
Exactly. Well, it depends on which plan you have on their FEHB, whether you have the fee-for-service plan, that's Blue Cross and Blue Shield, or whether you have an HMO. You have out-of-pocket expenses. When you receive those services, you usually pay something out-of-pocket. When it comes to the point that you are spending a lot because you're utilizing a lot of medical service, every time you do, you're paying out-of-pocket. At the end of the year, when you look back, you said, okay, so last year I spent $2,000. And if Medicare Part B is going to cost me $1,200 a year to have it, well, obviously, I'm not making the right choice in here because I spent an additional $1,000, $2,000, and I could have Medicare Part B that will cover those benefits if I was just paying the premiums.
Because almost every federal health plan in some way will adjust their out-of-pocket expenses that you would pay if you have Medicare Part B as primary, because obviously the federal health plan then gets a break as well, because if Medicare is going to pay 80% of your outpatient expenses, and then they only have to take care of 20%, so it's to their best interest to give you an incentive to enroll. So always tell employees, look at Section 9 of your federal health benefit brochure. It's the section that says coordinating this plan with other health insurance, including Medicare. And it'll sometimes say, we waive our deductibles, we waive our copayments, we waive our coinsurance when Medicare is primary. So again, if you're scheduling your social life around your doctor visits, that's when you get the benefit of it. But like you said, David, when you're 65 and you're enjoying life and you go to the doctor once a year for a checkup, it's hard to see that advantage when you're young and healthy.
Exactly.
Does a high deductible health care plan have any influence on Medicare? I mean, can you have both? Doesn't one preclude the other? If you have a high deductible,
you can have a high deductible health plan with Medicare. What you can't do, though, is contribute to a health care savings account if you have Medicare. So if you have a high deductible health plan, you have two choices for your account, so be it. So whether it's a health care savings account or a health reimbursement account, with Medicare you'd have to have just the reimbursement account, which means you can't contribute tax-free dollars to it.
Exactly, and that's a great point, Bob, because we were just saying that at the age of 65 is a no-brainer to enroll in Medicare Part A, even if you're working. But then, of course, you brought a good point. If you have a health savings account with a high deductible plan and you want to keep that going, you may want to delay enrolling in Medicare altogether, because if you enroll in Medicare, you're no longer able to contribute to that account.
Right.
That's a great point.
This might be an out there question. Let's say I enroll, but I don't put any money in out of my own pocket to the health savings account, but the insurance company does. Does that kill me?
No, you can still get the insurance rebate. And the automatically, if you're in Part A of Medicare, they'll take you out of the HSA and put you in an HRA. So you wouldn't have the choice to stay in the HSA arrangement
in that case.
Okay. And then we were talking about premiums. As I understand it, premiums can be impacted by the size of one's income.
For Medicare Part B.
And I think this is mind-numbing going through the numbers, but as the income increases, in some retirees have the ability to take money out of an IRA, go to work, do whatever, and all of a sudden they just pop over a certain amount and the Medicare premium jumps. But I'm not saying that is a bad thing. It's called means tested, but it's not permanent. It's impacted by the year after. So if you file your tax return, you always file your tax return after the end of a calendar year. The increase in the premiums don't take effect till the year after, because they don't know what's on the tax return until potentially October 15th. And then for that year, it would be the higher amount. And if the income went down, and again, the prior year, then the premium would go down.
But that is something people should know, that if their income does get reduced, or if they just recently retired, then should they let Social Security know that their income has changed so that that can be reflected in the premium?
Absolutely. That's another great point that individuals do need to stay on top of these things. Social Security take into account 2 years back in your taxes. So they always look 2 years back to determine your current premium. But, of course, like you said, if you get reimbursement from your investment, that will be counted as income that you have that year. When you file your taxes, you're going to report that. When Social Security get that information, they will send you a nice letter indicating that your income has increased, and therefore your Medicare Part B premium is going to be determined based on that income. What needs to happen is, because this is only a one-time thing, that individuals need to advise Social Security once that happened. This is just happening this year, so make sure that for the following year that your premium will be readjusted back to the normal amount without taking that lump sum into account.
So you're not affected for the rest of your life just because
exactly.
1 year you took a distribution. And the other thing, too, is if it's something, I'm not even sure if you know the criteria for this, but if, like, for instance, let's say your spouse dies and you got some life insurance and it was just that one-time income from the death of your spouse, are there some exceptions, some compassionate allowances for that premium not going up for certain types of income you might have?
No, that I'm aware of.
Okay.
If you report that in your taxes as income, is going to be counted.
Life insurance.
Except for life insurance.
Life insurance
taxable.
Wouldn't be on the tax return.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you can at least have that.
Right.
And if it's done right, it's not on the estate tax return either. But we're here today to talk about Medicare.
So what about changes, David? It's probably a little bit early to know about too many changes for 2014. Like, as far as premiums, those haven't been announced yet. But is there anything else, like in relationship to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, that we should know about how that would impact Medicare coverage for us now or even in the future?
Sure, Tommy. And it is a question in everybody's mind. In fact, as I travel across the country, one of the questions that individuals have, or concerns, rather, individuals have with Medicare as well with FEHB, asking, okay, we are aware of Obamacare. We are aware that there is a marketplace, because it has been in the news lately a lot, about the website that came live in October 1st this year, and it hasn't been working as smooth as we anticipated, but it's functioning. People are enrolling now in private health insurance plans. So the question is, if I have Medicare, how does that affect my Medicare benefits, the new health insurance marketplace? What do I need to do? Can I just go to these health insurance plans and buy myself a policy? How these policies are going to coordinate with benefits with Medicare? So all these questions out there. So let me just address some of those basic questions. If you have Medicare benefits, you really don't need to go to buy health insurance in the marketplace. First of all, we make it illegal for those private health insurance in the marketplace to sell you a policy if they knowingly are aware that you are enrolled in Medicare. That is because there is no such coordination of benefits between Medicare and these private health plans in the marketplace. So it is illegal for the marketplace to sell you a policy if they know that you are enrolled in Medicare. So that's the first thing that we need to tell individuals. Right. You are insured under Medicare, and of course, if you have your FEHB benefits, you do have what you need. It is a comprehensive package of benefits. It's the best package of benefits that you could have.
You don't need to go on that new website.
You do not need to go to the marketplace website along with everybody else and trying to set up clog back the system. Let the people that don't have health insurance and need to buy one of these policies to go to the website. But you, as a Medicare recipient, along with FEHB, this is not really for you.
Now, what about people who have Medicare, but they use the Medicare health plans that they enrolled in at Social Security or Medicare.gov?
So
they called Medicare Advantage plans. Is that the right name?
Because Medicare Advantage plans.
Mm-hmm. Or Medicare Part C. We call that Medicare.
The Medicare, yeah, there are two Medicare Advantage plans, and then the Medicare Part C, which is the Medicare, the standalone, what we call a standalone prescription drug plans.
Okay.
This is for individuals who decide to stay in your regional Medicare Part A and B, and then have a separate plan that would just pay for their prescriptions. Mm-hmm. So again, these individuals, in order to have either of these options, Advantage plans or Medicare Part C, you have to be you enroll in Medicare. Mm-hmm. You need Medicare to have either plan.
In those not on the exchanges, but on Medicare.gov.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a good point. You don't go to the exchange to either. That's another question people have. Do I need to go to the marketplace to apply for Medicare? Do I need to go to apply for Medicare Advantage plans or private plans? The marketplace is not for you. You go to Medicare.gov website, and that website is working wonderfully for you. You would be able to put your information in, compare plan and see your claims and many things that you can see on that Medicare.gov website. So the marketplace or the healthcare.gov website is not really for people who have Medicare.
David, you mentioned a minute ago in your travels. All right. So here's the question. In your travels, what would you feel would be, say, the top one, two, or three things that people don't understand about Medicare that you provide your good guidance? I mean, is that an unfair question, or do they understand nothing?
No, I mean,
depends on who they are, probably too.
It depends on who they are, how long they have been working with Medicare individuals. But the main question that individuals usually get kind of confused is the alphabet soup. There are four parts in there. So people usually, okay, so there are four parts. Where are they? And why there's so many parts?
What is Medicaid?
What is Medicaid? I heard about this Medicaid. So this is kind of defining the parts of Medicare and how they apply to you. Like when I go and talk to federal employees or retirees about Medicare, this is what they need to know. What is Part A? How does Medicare Part A applies to my FEHB? What is Part B? How that part apply to my FEHB? How about Medicare Advantage plan? Why is that there? And why are you telling me about this Medicare Advantage plan when I have FEHB benefits that I know these plans are pretty much the same, kind of similar?
Similar.
Mm-hmm. And why are you even telling me about prescription drugs when we know that FEHB plans do have a good prescription drug coverage? So those are kind of the main questions individuals have, trying to define each and every part of the Medicare and how it applies to their situation.
How would a federal employee, or specifically, how would a federal retiree compare a Medicare Advantage plan to use that as their health coverage versus staying with an FEHB plan? Because they do have both choices, right? They can suspend their federal health plan and use a Medicare Advantage plan, or they can just ignore the Medicare Advantage plan and stay with their FEHB with Medicare A and B. So how would you make that comparison? Is there any guidance or tips you can give?
Well, the best way to go about comparing what type of Medicare Advantage plans are available in your area is going to Medicare.gov website. You really don't need to create an account or do anything like that. It's happening with healthcare.gov. You can just go there and plug in your zip code, and it will tell you exactly how many plans are offering within your zip code, what is their monthly premium, what is the deductible, if any, how they cover your prescription drugs. And if you want to compare to see which plan provide you with a better package of benefits and lower costs, you can do that. Now, once you select that plan on the website, then I would recommend to do a printout of what the benefits offered to you and the price, and then compare that with what you have with the FEHB, because there's not really a direct comparison on the website.
You can't stack them up side by side, but
exactly.
You can print out like the deductible, if you have to pay a deductible, the catastrophic limits, how it covers, like let's say you're diabetic, how would that cover your diabetic needs versus how your federal plan would cover it. So you can do comparisons, but it takes some time, and you have to put some effort into it.
And absolutely.
There are some folks, not many, but in a married situation, one spouse has got full coverage under a private employer. They pay 100%, and with the FEHB, there is a cost. And to go, I want this, but you know, eventually they're going to have to switch over to the FEHB when they retire, because it's not going to be like that. So
yeah, most corporations don't give you free coverage in retirement.
Very few. they might do it for. Well, anyway, the answer
depends.
Is generally no. So would that going to that same site provide them the opportunity to make the same type of calculation with a non-FEHB medical plan?
Exactly. Yeah. So the Medicare.gov website is just, it will give you information about the Medicare product, nothing outside of that.
Okay.
So it's a Medicare product. You go there, you see what Medicare is offering. You can print out the summary of benefits that these plans offered, and then compare that with whatever you have, whether it's an FEHB plan or it's a private plan through a private company out there or a retirement benefits plan.
What's the difference between Medicare Advantage plans that we can search on Medicare.gov and Medigap plans? Is there still such a thing as a Medigap plan or Medicare supplemental plan?
Absolutely. And this is why, of course, individuals in Medicare are asking, well, the Medigap plans, they exist. They are out there. They're still available to individuals in Medicare. I oftentimes tell the federal employees and retirees, you don't really need to be looking at Medicare supplemental plan. That Medigap policy is not really for you.
Mm-hmm. Are they also on Medicare.gov?
That is also on Medicare.gov. So you can go there and plug your zip code and look for Medicare supplement plans, and it'll give you the list of plans that are available to individuals in Medicare.
So how would you know, like if you go to Medicare.gov, how do you know if you're looking for a Medicare supplemental plan or a Medicare Advantage plan? Are they in different places on the website?
They are. When you go to compare health plans options, you will see two different comparisons in there, Medicare Advantage plans and also Medicare supplement.
And
so you can say, well, I'm just looking for Medicare supplement, something that will supplement Medicare rather than take the place of Medicare, which is what Medicare Advantage does. They just take the place of Medicare, and instead of supplementing Medicare, so they pay hospitals.
It's your whole health insurance.
Exactly. So okay. It's the same thing as having it, like think about having a FEHB card.
Mm-hmm.
You have that card, you use it when you go to the hospital, you use it when you see a doctor, you use it when you go to the pharmacy.
So you wouldn't have that plus the red, white, and blue Medicare card. You just have one card.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Does that include Medicare Part A and Part B in that one coverage, Medicare Advantage?
Medicare Advantage will take place of Medicare. So it'll have Medicare Part A, Part B, and also prescription drug benefits.
In that one premium?
In that one card.
What about premium? Company. Do you have to pay the separate premiums?
You do not pay the separate premium. One thing to keep in mind is that, of course, to be able to have a Medicare Advantage plan, you need to be enrolled in Medicare and pay in Medicare Part B premium.
Okay, so you do still pay the Part B premium plus the Medicare Advantage premium.
Right.
But one card.
One card, exactly.
Okay.
So you have everything on the one card. So the question that many federal employees have, why are you telling me about these Medicare Advantage plans? What is there for me to try one of these plans? Where I tell the individual, go to the Medicare.gov website, look what these plans are offering to you, because it is an option for you to suspend your FEHB and try it out. You would be surprised to see that many of these plans are offered at no premium. Premium free. So it's zero premium.
So all you pay for is Part B.
Exactly. So as long as you're paying for your Medicare Part B. And another surprising fact is that there are some of these plans that even help you with your Medicare Part B premium.
Wow.
So when you listen to this,
Is a lot of it income based? Like if I don't have, let's say I'm somebody who retired in 1978, my retirement's $1,000 a month, so I'm really financially strapped. So would a Medicare Advantage plan possibly help me? You said with maybe paying some of my Part B premium and maybe no premium for the extra insurance coverage. So that might be an option for someone in that situation, perhaps.
Exactly. And Medicare, there's actually a couple of helps in there for individuals who are limited income and resources. There's what we call Medicare savings programs. That is actually offered through the states to individuals in Medicare. For example, those who are up to 135% of the federal poverty level. If you are at that level, the state will help you paying for your Medicare Part B premium. So that's another thing to consider. And, of course, under Medicare prescription drug, there is also help for those individuals up to 150% of the federal poverty level to help them pay for their prescription medications.
Who would somebody call if they wanted help with that? Would it be the local area agency on aging, or how would you get in touch with somebody if you didn't have the Internet available to you?
I will call 1-800-MEDICARE. So 1-800-MEDICARE, if you need somebody to sit with you face-to-face, they will connect you with your local area agency on aging, what we call the senior health insurance programs across the nation. They're in every county. They have individuals that will set up an appointment and sit with you and go over all your options.
It's a great segue into our phone number. We're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. There's about 20 minutes left on the show, and we generally like to open up the phone lines after the larger part of the message, not all
right.
of it, but the larger part of the message has been delivered. So if you have a question on Medicare, Medicaid, federal benefits, we'll do taxes another day or finance. Please give us a call, 202-465-3080. So let's go back to where we were.
David, I found a statistic. I'm not even sure where I pulled this off of, but it shows these Medicare Advantage plans have seen some pretty good enrollment growth. So it sounds like there are a lot of people who have taken advantage of using them. So would you say that's something that federal retirees should take a look at just to compare? Because it seems like instead of just having, let's say, 20 or 30 FEHB plans to choose from, now you've broadened your choice with some of these other Medicare Advantage plans. So it might be worth looking at.
You're absolutely right. There were changes in the law in 2003 that provide additional incentive to these plans to help individuals in Medicare. So the benefits under these plans is vast. Mm-hmm. Most of these plans cover more benefits than original Medicare.
Right.
For example, we don't cover routine medical exams every year, although we do cover one visit to the doctor just to evaluate overall medical needs. We don't really cover routine medical examinations. These plans usually do. These plans have some coverage for dental care. They have some wellness programs that Medicare don't have. And if they're going to cost you less than the plan, and the plans may even help you with your Medicare Part B premium, it is an incentive. 25% of individuals in Medicare are enrolled in these plans, and we are expecting this enrollment to even go up next year.
So that says something for it that there are a lot of people who are enrolling and then staying with the plans.
Correct.
That's good. And they're through different insurance companies, so it's not all the same plan, because I've seen Kaiser and United Healthcare, and all the names that you would recognize are some of the companies that run these Medicare health plans. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. The same companies that we are used to deal with, those are the same companies offering the Medicare product as well.
The caller is gone.
Oh, we had a caller?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they'll call back.
I
call back,
so.
Please.
202-465-3080.
The other question I wanted to ask you, David, was we all have heard about the donut hole with Medicare Part D prescription drug benefits. And that's changing or closing. I guess the donut hole is closing. So could you explain what that is and how it works? And also, I guess, if you had FEHB and you had prescription coverage through FEHB And you also had Medicare Part D, perhaps. Is there a coordination between those two?
Right. There is not really. There's a good question. There is not really coordination. If you have FEHB plan, we advise individuals that they do not really need to enroll in the Medicare Part D benefits, and this because it's going to be duplicative and you're not going to get anything out
you
of it.
You have to pay for it.
Exactly. And you do pay a premium for Medicare Part D.
Okay. I understand the caller's return. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob, Tammy, Zed Zerndorfer.
Ed.
Hey, Zed. Hi, Ed, good to hear
from
you.
I was going to have a lot of questions on this one because these are some of the questions we get in class. And one of the most often asked questions I get is from people in the military who have TRICARE. They turn 65, and they have the TRICARE, which is the military health insurance. They're still working for the federal government. In order to get free TRICARE for life, they must enroll in Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. So the question is, at that point, even though they're working for the government, they have to enroll in Medicare Part A and Part B in order to get the free TRICARE.
Right. That is correct. TRICARE for life requires individuals, once they turn 65, to be able to keep your TRICARE, that you have to pick up Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B, both. But what I advise federal employees is that for as long as they are working and have the FEHB plan as well as TRICARE, they can, of course, opt to keep your FEHB plan going, let your TRICARE go.
You mean suspend it.
Yeah, don't take the TRICARE for life if you're still employed, which means then you don't have to do Medicare Part B.
Right. So you have two options. Mm-hmm. You have an option to suspend your FEHB.
But not if you're working.
Not if you're working. Mm-hmm. But let's say you have the option to basically say, well, I have TRICARE, I have Medicare, I don't really need. Also, FEHB. My FEHB. This is totally duplicative.
Right.
Because TRICARE do count for
5 years
towards your 5 years to keep to take your FEHB for retirement. You can opt to just basically get TRICARE and Medicare before you retire. Make sure that you enroll back in FEHB plan if you wanted to take into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one option. The other option is to keep your FEHB going and let your TRICARE, suspend your TRICARE for the time that you have FEHB. Whenever you want to pick up your TRICARE back, you can just enroll in Medicare Part B. What I'm telling individuals is, well, you're actively working, you have FEHB. You can suspend, or you can just basically delay enrollment in Medicare Part B. Of course, your TRICARE would not be there, but you have your FEHB going. Now, once you retired, if you enroll in Medicare Part B, then you can pick up your TRICARE back up again.
And you have that special enrollment of 8 months to do that.
Right.
So you can do both at the same time.
What if you go beyond? What if you have an oops period and you forget?
And then you have to wait for the general enrollment we talked about before, the January to March.
Right.
But any January, or is it within a year or two?
No, it's any. Okay. But every year that you delay, you'll pay that penalty for Part B.
Right. Yeah.
All right. The other question I have is regarding, and this is happening more and more. I have questions from employees who say, well, you know, I'm going to be moving overseas. I'm going to retire overseas, in which there is no Medicare coverage. So my question to David is, what do you advise an employee who's going to move overseas to do regarding their Medicare? Should they enroll in it, even though they're not going to get the benefit?
Medicare do not have coverage overseas, so you would have a benefit that will not serve you. So if you're planning to return to the U.S. In the future, you can always pick up Medicare Part B when you come back. Of course, there would be a penalty, however, but the time that you would spend overseas, you wouldn't pay for a benefit that you wouldn't get anything out of it.
But you may have that possibility, even though you weren't planning to come back. You may have to have a medical procedure that you prefer to be performed back in the U.S. So you got to leave that possibility open that you may have to come back here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's almost the same kind of decision people have when they have an HMO. Because a lot of times if you have an HMO, you say, well, this covers most of my expenses. I don't see any reason to have Medicare Part B. But what if I move from Virginia, where we have HMOs, to South Carolina, where there's not too many HMOs? Then I might need to have Medicare then. So I have to think in terms of what might the future hold if I'm going to move either back into the United States or just to a different state where my health plans might be a different number of choices.
Exactly. I guess the bottom line, Tammy, is don't ever say never.
That's
never,
right.
Never.
And don't base all your decisions on how you feel today. Think of how you might feel 20 years from now.
Especially when it comes to your health.
That's right. Don't fool around with your health.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Good to talk to you. Haven't heard from Ed in a long time.
Yeah, it's good
to hear from him.
He's listening.
Yeah, that's good.
that's good.
I listen too whenever I'm not on the show because I always learn something from our guests, and especially with guests like David, where it relates directly to what my employees ask me when I go out to teach. I always take something back with me.
To be totally candid, I learn a lot from this.
Yeah, we all do. That's why we're here. So we can all learn together.
All righty, where were we?
We were talking about. We were talking about Part D, or I forgot now.
Yeah,
the donut hole. Yeah,
we were talking about the donut hole. What is the donut hole? People keep asking, although it may disappear very soon, people are still asking, what is it? Because now it's part of the Affordable Care Act.
So there's a donut hole in the exchanges as well?
Well, there's not a donut hole in the exchange, but rather in the Affordable Care Act, there is a provision that eliminates the so-called donut hole. So I can tell you that this will make my job much easier because it was difficult to explain what the donut hole was about to a regular individual out there. So, and to put this in a basic term, a donut hole is just basically a period of coverage that you wouldn't have anything. So think about a donut that you have some, and then you fall into that hole, and then you have nothing until you reach the other side. So that's the kind of the basic term of a donut hole.
Okay.
Okay, now somebody's calling for some nuggets of information. Good morning.
Good morning. David, a quick question. I'm currently a federal employee. I have FEHB coverage, and as of September 1st, I enrolled in Medicare Part B. I've notified certain providers, various providers, that I've enrolled in Medicare Part B, that it is basically a secondary coverage at this point, and I'm planning on retiring most likely in January. My understanding is that at that point, Medicare becomes primary and FEHB becomes my secondary coverage. My question is, do I need to do any particular notifications, either verbally or in writing, either to Medicare and or my FEHB carrier, which is Cross Blue Shield, to reverse roles, in other words, make Medicare now the primary and the FEHB coverage secondary?
Yes, this is what I'm talking about when I go out and speak to individuals and say, be proactive, be an important partner on your own health and your options. This is the type of thing that I like to hear. Someone who is proactive, you are kind of ahead of the game thinking, okay, I made this decision. What is going to happen next? And what do I need to do from my end to make my life easier with the options that I have? So here's what you need to do. And I think you are already on the right track. Once Medicare take over as your primary health insurance, I would make sure that I call Medicare to make sure that their system is correctly showing that now they are the primary. I make sure that the FEHB benefits is also aware that as of January 1st, Medicare will be primary. So they also made the annotations in the system to make sure that that is the case. And, of course, I will tell my provider, and more importantly, will tell my provider, as of January 1st, Medicare is my primary health insurance. With those three steps, you're going to make your life much easier, and you're going to avoid a lot of problems that many people face because they just don't do those three basic steps.
That makes perfect sense, because I hear that all the time in seminars where people say, "Oh, my, you know, I got the bill and I shouldn't have got the bill." And I said, "Did you call anybody before you retired?" "No, I didn't know I had to." So that's very good advice. And I have since put a number in my workbook. It's called Calling the Medicare Coordination of Benefits Contractor.
Right. So 1-800-999-1118.
That'll get you right to the person you need to
talk to. One more time.
1-800-999-1118. So 1-800-999-1118. You can call that number if you have any problems, or even if you have no problem, like the caller, mm-hmm. that you just wanted to make sure that the systems are showing the correct information. So that you don't end up paying bills or bills are being denied because they don't have the correct information in the system.
Very good. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes. And, Tammy, just one additional follow-up to that part regarding the FEHB part of it. Would it also pay for me to contact the HR department of my agency and see if they do any particular notification as such? In the preparation of my retirement package, that they'll notify my FEHB carrier that now that's become secondary and Medicare has become my primary?
Well, what will happen whenever you file for retirement, your HR office is going to, first of all, verify that you've met the 5 years of coverage test to keep your federal health plan in retirement, and then they'll prepare the paperwork for OPM to let them know that they're transferring your employee coverage for FEHB to their retirement system. So that'll happen pretty much automatically. But I would just make sure that you get a copy of that form that shows that you are eligible to keep your FEHB in retirement. And the agency should give you that automatically.
Is there a particular form number associated with that notification?
I think I'll look it up. But I think it's a 2810. I'm not sure. SF Standard Form 2810, but I think I've got it in here somewhere. Maybe not. Yeah, I think it's the SF-2810. Just look that up on opm.gov, and I'm pretty sure you'll see that's the one that converts your current employee coverage into your retirement system.
Okay. Okay, very good.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Great call. Good call.
Sure.
We're on a roll here, 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Got about another 5 minutes to go, but these questions and Ed's comment really good.
It helps clarify things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like this specifically the last caller, and I keep telling individuals that we can't really expect the systems to work perfectly. So it is good for us to be proactive and make sure that everybody has the right thing, the right information.
That's right.
Our lives much easier.
I find what you two are talking about extremely confusing, and I work in a confusing world. And fortunately, I've known Tammy for well over 20 years, and I can call her up and ask her a question where everybody can't do that. And
I think that's one of the nice things now, because I know just 20 years ago, we really didn't have the information available even on the internet or to try and call somebody you didn't know who to call. So I think things have improved with information. And is there anything about Medicare's website you wanted to point out? Because there's a lot on there.
Oh, there's a lot of information on the Medicare website. Now, we have improved the website to allow individuals, for example, like the caller was talking about his doctor. If you have Medicare, you can go to Medicare.gov website on the front page, and now you can go about finding which doctors participate in Medicare. I know that has been a previous question before about doctors and access to care if you have Medicare. So the website will tell you all the doctors and specialties that are available within your zip code. You just have to plug in your zip code and say, "I'm looking for a cardiologist," or whatever doctor you're looking for, and it will tell you how many doctors participate in Medicare, how many of them take the
assignment,
accept the assignment, which is the Medicare-approved amount as a payment in full, and so forth.
That is a question. It comes up sometimes, especially when I have an audience of people who are getting close or already at 65, and they've heard, I don't know where they're hearing it from, but they've heard that none of the doctors take Medicare. And I think one time you had given out a statistic, something like 95% of the doctors in the country do accept Medicare. So where does that rumor come from?
Exactly. I often tell individuals we can all find an anecdote. I heard that the doctor didn't take Medicare. So you call one doctor, the doctor say, I'm not taking Medicare. And all of a sudden that becomes an anecdote. Mm-hmm. And then you ask, there are doctors out there not taking Medicare. Well, that's the minority. And you would find them here and there. Like you would find many doctors that do not take your FEHB. Mm-hmm. They will say, no, we don't take that
plan. Yeah, there's some doctors who don't take any insurance. They just can afford to stay in practice without it. It just depends on who their clients are and if they can afford to pay.
Exactly.
So I think if you live in a very affluent area, and I think there is a lot of neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. that would be considered very affluent, that you might find doctors here and there that put the sign up that says, we don't accept insurance, let alone Medicare, so you know, come with your checkbook
Correct.
If you want to come here. And oftentimes it's the internal medicine or family practice that doesn't want to take Medicare because these are doctors who can afford to stay in business without seeing people over 65. But if you go to see a cardiologist, I doubt you're going to see a sign that says we don't take Medicare.
Exactly.
At the cardiology department.
Exactly.
You just think of who your patients are. You know, so if most of your patients are elderly, then you have to take Medicare if you want to stay in business.
Hey, and the Medicare population, we all know the Medicare population is growing tremendously. We would have about 70 million people. Right now we have about 50 million, and we would have about 70 million in the next in the next few years. So the population is growing as the baby boom retiring, and we do have 78 million of them.
Wow.
All right, and we have a minute and a half. So final comments, David?
Learn the basics of your benefits. Be proactive like the caller. Stay on top of it and make the best choice with the options you have.
Yes, and listen to our show.
Correct.
Tammy?
That's one way to be proactive.
Right. Don't feel like you're on information overload. Don't be paralyzed by too much information, but try to focus on really what pertains to you and make some wise choices because you do have choices.
And I would say I'm probably the one in the room where I'm learning the most and still don't know. But I learn each time you come on, David, of course, when I talk to Tammy, it's just difficult in the moving parts and, you know.
Well, sometimes you have to actually use it to learn what it is, and that's what I like about FEHB open season. You can change. If it doesn't work out this year, next year you change something different.
All righty. I think we're done for today. It was a powerful show, a lot of good information. Next week we got FSA Feds coming in, Bart Turney, and Bart is an annual guest on the show during open season. David comes in sometimes
throughout the year.
Yeah. All righty, and thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.